When my niggas down, trust you, they gon' shoot.
And we're joined once again on The Scoop by Colton Molesky, taking a look at the college football landscape, recapping week 9 and taking a look at the week 10 slate of games. Colton, a disastrous week for our picks, but I just want to go on the record to just square it all away. I know we were texting back and forth throughout the games. You seem to think it was intentional that I did it just to try to make your teams lose. That was not the case. It was an honest mistake by me with how my picks have gone recently to pick the teams that you picked as well. We both went 0-3. It was just a disaster.
You will never be able to convince me otherwise. I believe that there is a nefarious plot afoot. I believe that there were insurgents planted around me to take down me and my organization. And I will forever be on the case, and I vow to the people right here that I will get to the bottom of this, no matter how long it takes.
Well, don't worry. I'm coming after Ryan next, as he's in first place at 5-5-2. I'm bringing up the rear at 3-9. A very interesting week in the top 25, especially. It seemed like there were several teams that just could not get it done. Wisconsin ended up getting routed pretty convincingly. Let's look at the results from Week 9. What were some of the biggest surprises from Week 9's games?
I was really surprised Texas lost to Oklahoma State. I know it was a 3-point game, really tight. But Oklahoma State hasn't done anything this year to that should make you, going into this game 4-3, they haven't done anything that should make you uber confident in their ability to topple a team that was so hot like Texas. I know that they were at home. I know that they have kind of this history over the last couple of years of being one of the better teams in the Big 12, but also just not a very great defense. But to be able to hold fast early in that game and make sure that they could give themselves a little bit of a cushion going up 17-7 in that first quarter and holding Texas to 14 points in the first half, I thought was pretty impressive. And it was enough of a cushion because Texas came roaring back in that fourth quarter, but it was enough that they weren't able to come back. If you look at Oklahoma State's record, they lose to Texas Tech, lose to Iowa State, lose to Kansas State. Really, this and a win against a ranked Boise State at the time in week 3 are probably their most impressive victories. So I was impressed by Oklahoma State able to show up and beat the number 6 team at the time in Texas. And I think that Cornelius did a good job. He played really efficiently. Their quarterback, 23 for 34, 321 yards, 3 touchdowns. It was really important that he not only play efficiently with his possessions, with his throws, but also not turn the ball over. So I was impressed with Oklahoma State more than I think any other team in any upset.
Yeah, looking at some of the other top 25 teams that lost, Florida lost to Georgia 36-17. Kentucky ended up getting a win over Missouri 15-14. So Kentucky continuing to roll here this season, but Stanford ended up losing 41-38. Texas A&M lost to Mississippi State. Iowa got beaten by Penn State. Oregon, Wisconsin, South Florida all got routed, and NC State ended up losing to Syracuse 51-41. So as we typically see, as we get into the final few weeks of the regular season, just continued top 25 madness throughout the schedule.
Well, this is what happens when you bet on 19 to 20 year olds to perform each and every week. Another one that stood out, that California Washington game, 12-10, California able to pull out the win. I thought it was very impressive just what their defense was able to do to Washington. And I think if you're in the Pac-12, you have to think that Washington State is the most impressive team right now, because there have definitely been moments. Granted, California's defense has been playing a lot better this year. And then Auburn, we know what kind of defensive front they boast every year. But there are definitely moments and ways to clog up this Washington team. It seems pretty consistent that if you can pressure Jake Browning and get him out of the pocket, get him kind of moving around, that offense just seems to stymie. And so I think that loss there is telling for Washington just in how kind of vulnerable they are and how Washington State, I think, is probably the team to beat in the Pac-12 right now.
Colton, some big news in the NFL as Hugh Jackson was fired as head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And it seems like whenever there's that first firing in the NFL, we start to get some college names that are associated with the position as potential fits. And Lincoln Riley seems to be definitely a hot topic in terms of a potential fit for the Browns. He was pretty quick to dismiss interest in the position. Any other coaches that maybe are going to be considered for a jump here within the next couple seasons?
I mean, you always have the Saban, Urban Meyer. What can an NFL team do to pull them away from a college team? Obviously, really, if you're looking at this, you want somebody who is going to take advantage of the talent that this roster has. The Browns roster is actually pretty solid. So you need somebody who's going to run a more modern offense, somebody who's going to really take advantage of the speed they have at some of those wide receiver spots, of Nick Chubb, get him more involved in the game, and just help Baker Mayfield out, help make his job a little easier as you try and develop him and try and ask more and more of him each week instead of throwing everything at him right away. If you're thinking about some guys, again, this is all just off the top of my head, kind of off the hip. But if you're thinking Texas Tech, Nebraska with Frost, guys who are going to be creative and inventive with their offenses, and who know how to put guys in spots to succeed. Again, you really have to wait a couple more weeks just to see how the college seasons are panning out, what athletic directors are saying, and how they're feeling about certain guys. But if you're looking at the college spectrum, you want somebody who has shown that they can win with a couple different guys, not just somebody who year after year has the same couple of quarterbacks or has the same kind of defense. Not that you want a guy who is able to be creative with each different roster they have. And I think Nick Saban, while he's not going to leave Alabama, is a perfect example of, you lose 8 starters from the defense last year and they come back and they have one of the best defenses again. Somebody like that, who isn't dependent on a crazy good recruiting class every single year. And I know Nick Saban has crazy good recruiting classes, but somebody who can do a lot with new talent and can mold guys.
Colton, looking at the rankings for the top 25 here for this week, looking at the movers and shakers, the top 5 did not budge. Texas drops down 9 spots to 15. Utah up 7 spots to 16. Washington State also jumping up 4 spots to number 10. Ohio State up to 8. They jumped up 3 spots. Any surprises? It looks like we had a lot of teams that were not ranked last week jump into the top 25. What was your reaction to what we now see as the top 25 this week?
Well, and when you have a bunch of teams upset, especially in that 18 to 25 range, you have teams upset those guys, you can get some movement and moving teams around. I think guys like Syracuse, Fresno State, Utah State, nothing against those schools personally, but I don't think they have the caliber or the stamina to stay in the top 25. But congratulations to them for winning big games and getting themselves in there for at least a week or two. I actually do really like Houston. I think King, their quarterback, has proven some things against some really good teams. Their defense isn't all that great, but they stick to their guns. They know that they're going to be able to grab some pass rush every once in a while, and they're going to be able to score a lot of points, and that's what they hold to. And they're a 7-1 team. They've been playing really well, and they've averaged nearly 50 points a game, which is an insane number. And so I actually really like them. I think that they could hold above that 20 spot in the rankings and stay somewhere in that 18 to 13 range, and I like them a lot. I think if you're the Big 12, you're kind of disappointed in this year so far, just because you obviously want your conference to get represented in the playoff, right? And I think your teams have been kind of destroying themselves. You haven't had a team that's really stepped up for an entire season. You had a weak spot from Oklahoma, and then Texas turns around and has a couple stumbles. You've had West Virginia look really good, but then they have that absolute dud of a game against Iowa State. And so I just don't know if you're going to get into the playoff this year again. And that would be disappointing for me if I was a real big fan of the Big 12 conference, just because you want your teams in there. And as far as the rest of the rankings, that top five, I mean, is the number two spots, can they stay safe the way that the number two seeds have been going this year? But Clemson has looked outstanding. Their defense is insane. Alabama, you know what they're going to do. Notre Dame, I've been really impressed with. I think Ian Book has done so much more than we could have anticipated from him this season, and been really impressed with his production. And the offense around him has been really solid. Really great play by their offensive line, too. And LSU, I have been a champion of LSU for quite some time, both here on this show and in a weekly column I write about the top five games to watch every week. Love LSU. That defense is so much fun to watch, and I like that they're in the top four for that matchup in Death Valley this week.
Before we take a look at the games coming up this weekend, we'll do the Heisman watch as we typically do. Alabama was off this week, so no chance for Tua Tagovailoa to improve on his numbers. And at least according to ESPN, the top three is as follows. Tagovailoa still at number one, and as we've discussed, a wide margin there. Kyler Murray of Oklahoma, and then Dwayne Haskins of Ohio State, the next two in the Heisman race. But then a name that popped into the top five that I wanted to ask you about, Gardner Minshew of Washington State, has 26 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and 3,100 yards on the season so far. Any other dark horse candidates other than Minshew that have kind of come into the forefront here over the last couple weeks?
Gardner leapfrog from the number two spot to the number one spot this week as far as passing yards. He leads the country with that 3,000-yard mark. I think that his Oregon win was kind of a coming out party, and the Stanford victory kind of cemented him as somebody you really have to watch every week in the Pac-12. Another guy, and we know this, I like the fringe guys. I like the defensive player. I like the quarterback from the small school that not enough people are talking about. I think Mason Fine for North Texas was a big deal last year and kind of came onto the scene. And it feels like not enough people are talking about him. He's the second passer in the country right now, the second highest yardage total as far as passing yards in the country. 2,879 yards, 21 touchdowns, only one interception, 21-1 touchdown interception ratio. And his team is 7-2. They had that massive victory over Arkansas, an SEC team. I think this team is really good, and I think Mason Fine is awesome. I think he is an absolute baller. I think people should be talking about him more, and I kind of like him. I know that he's not going to win the Heisman. Don't get me wrong, people. I'm not crazy. I know that when I name these dark horses, they're probably not even going to be in the top three. But I think that he should be in consideration because – I think that it's like the MVP. If you take this player off the team, what is their team? I don't know how many games North Texas is winning without Mason Fine, but I know it's not seven. I know it's not seven games, and I think that he elevates the talent around him. Nothing against the guys on North Texas, but he makes them look so much better than I think the talent around them actually is. He masks a lot of their problems. I love Mason Fine, and I think that he should be one of the dark horse candidates because second in the nation in passing yardage, he's a beast. And 21-1 touchdown to interception ratio is insane.
Yeah, you can't beat those numbers. I mean, I could try on Madden, but it's tough to put up those numbers in any sort of situation, regardless.
Exactly.
Colton, looking at the Week 10 slate, hard to believe we're already at that point in the season, but. A lot of intriguing matchups, including a couple of ranked versus ranked. Georgia taking on Kentucky at 2:30 on Saturday. West Virginia taking on Texas at 2:30. Some other games include Penn State at Michigan at 2:45. That will be a good one. And just scanning through the rest of the slate, plenty of ranked teams in action, including the final game of the night, the 7 o'clock, not the final game, but 7 o'clock, Alabama at LSU. That is going to be a grind for sure. Just looking at the slate, what are some of the biggest matchups you will be keeping an eye on this weekend?
Well, I was about to say, the last game of the night, don't count out Gardner Minshew in the Washington State-California game at 9:45. Come on.
Yes.
Come on, Seth.
Yes.
Got to stay up for those West Coast matchups. I actually really like the Penn State-Michigan game. I think that Shea Patterson started out rough for Michigan. Maybe not the dominance that people were expecting from somebody who was so good in the SEC for Ole Miss, but I think it took him a minute to learn really how to run this Michigan offense at its full high-octane pace, and I think it was kind of tough playing against those Big Ten defenses. I know the SEC has some really stout defenses as well, but it's a different conference. You got to learn how to beat different teams, different kinds of teams, and you got to learn how to run a different style of offense. Now I think that thing is humming, though. I think he knows exactly what Harbaugh was expecting of him. He knows exactly what he's supposed to do to make this offense as efficient and as dangerous as it can be. I really like Michigan at home in this game. I also am going to be watching Kentucky, Georgia. Kentucky's kind of been my baby all season long. I've loved watching them. I loved watching them upset. I love that they're 7-1, and I know that they're big underdogs to Georgia, but Georgia is heading out on the road, and Kentucky, the 9.5-point underdog at home. I think they can actually show up and play with Georgia. Their defense has been really good. Benny Snell Jr. has been a solid out of the backfield. I think that they can show up and actually play with Georgia. I hope they can win, but I'm not betting my money on it, let's put it that way. And of course, how could you not love LSU Alabama? Who do you have in this one, Seth? LSU's defense has been lights out this year.
Boy, I want to so badly pick the upset. I want to pick LSU. I don't know. I need to see a team beat Alabama, I think, before I go against them. I'm probably going to still go with Alabama, but I would not be surprised if LSU can keep it close and maybe even win a close one too.
I love this LSU defense so much. The problem is that we talked about this, what was it, last week, 2 weeks ago? Tua Tagovailoa has not only been really good, he's been uber efficient. He's completing – he has like 100 or so less passes than most guys, but he's right up there with some of the top passing leaders in yardage. He hasn't thrown an interception yet. I mean, his numbers are insane. His numbers are insane, and it's so hard to beat somebody who is so efficient and at the same time doesn't have any pressure because you have 3 5-star guys in the backfield that you can just lean on.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute battle. I've got that one circled on my viewing calendar for Saturday night, so that'll definitely be in the focus, but I'll probably be getting a little bit of an appetizer to start the day with the Gophers taking on Illinois. That will be at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. Gophers coming off their first Big Ten win against Indiana. It wasn't easy, though. Do you like their chances to make it 2 Big Ten wins in a row against the Fighting Illini?
I had quite a weekend. I actually went to the Friday night game, and then I went to the Saints Vikings game. So I had a good football weekend, and I was at the game for Minnesota. Like I said, I watched them piddle away the 31-9 lead in the second half. It looked like a totally different team. They got uber conservative. Shannon Brooks hurt his knee, which was a bummer because he was running really well. I know he had some fumbles, but he was running super well. But that Bateman kid, Rashad Bateman, is so much fun to watch. And in my opinion, is probably the best offensive player on that team right now. He doesn't drop the ball. He can run so many routes. He's super versatile, and he can take the top off of defense like you saw on that score to seal the game, the walk-off touchdown to seal the game late in the fourth quarter. I actually think they can beat Illinois. I know that there's not a ton of reason to have confidence in them beating the Fighting Illini, but here's the thing, is that this team is not very good either and not very good against Big Ten teams. I think that P.J. Fleck just has to kind of put the foot on the gas pedal. Don't have a moment in this game where you feel like you need to run out the clock and run the ball because you're up 10 points, because you're up 7 points or 4 points. Don't feel like you have to do that. Really open up the playbook, let loose, throw the ball around. You've got really fast guys. It's good to have Douglas back after being injured last year. Bateman's there. Hopefully Tyler Johnson. I haven't looked out or seen any news on him yet, but hopefully he'll be healthy for this game. But you have the guys to really open up on the secondary. Do it. Don't run the ball a ton. Don't get conservative at any point. Really open up on this team. Step on their throat. And if they do that, I think they can win this game.
Colton, before we let you go, hit me with those locks for this week.
All right, my lock of the week this week. I'm doing it. I'm taking LSU. They're getting 14 points at home, a 14-point dog. I think this is going to be like a 6-point game. I'm taking the 14 points. I'm jumping on it, and I'm grabbing LSU plus 14 at home in Death Valley against Alabama. This is the game of the week of the year, basically every single year in college football, and this year is no exception. Number 4 versus number 1 again, Death Valley. That place is going to be rolling when Alabama comes to town. Minus 14 for Alabama. That's too big of a spread. I'm grabbing LSU and the plus 14.
Love it, Colton. Always a pleasure. Good stuff with your college football breakdown here today. We're going to hang on. We're going to have you join for a second segment here today because we're doing a little scoop showdown between you and Ryan Schoberg coming up here in a little bit. So, Colton, hang on, and we'll continue the scoop coming up after this.